There are new revelations today about that meeting that Donald Trump Jr. took with a Kremlin-connected lawyer. A Russian-American lobbyist and former Soviet counterintelligence officer confirms he was at that meeting, too, a detail Trump Jr. did not disclose. Meanwhile, President Trump returns to the U.S. after his trip to Paris, sharing a long televised goodbye with President Macron and his wife Brigitte, holding hands, slapping backs. NPR lead politics editor Domenico Montanaro is here. Domenico, that was this morning, but President Trump will land with the news of this former counterintelligence officer, a Soviet officer, at this meeting with Donald Trump Jr. What more do we know about him?
Well, the man's name is Rinat Akhmetshin, and he has told the Washington Post and the Associated Press that he was also in the room. As you noted, he had been in the Russian military. He was a former Soviet counterintelligence officer. He is also an American citizen. He is a dual citizen with Russia and the United States. He has a role at an Eurasian Institute in Washington, D.C. So he is somebody who was lobbying against the sanctions that were imposed on Russia for human rights violations. This has been the talked about Magnitsky Act. And that's why when I've said before, when they were talking about adoption in that meeting, that has everything to do with sanctions. And we now know that there were at least five or six people, if you include a translator, in that room.
Well, and this is because President Putin banned American adoptions of Russian children after the U.S. launched these sanctions against Russia because of civil rights violations, including the mysterious death of a civil rights activist in jail. But Domenico, what I don't understand is we know that these
everything.
Well, we know
this is very murky.
It is, but you have to question why isn't the White House stepping up and being as transparent as Donald Trump, the president, is claiming his son is. We know that these emails surfaced with Jared Kushner's lawyers in June because he had to redo his security clearance. So deep in the White House, people knew that these emails existed. Why wasn't there some sort of preparation for the trail to go to Donald Trump Jr. as it did?
Well, I think that it's a valid question for the White House. I mean, it's a question that we're going to continue to ask and has been asked and is being asked of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for example, who's been the deputy press secretary who has been the lead in a lot of these press briefings of late. We're not getting a lot of straight answers, frankly. So it's very difficult to say why they weren't prepared on it or why they would not release the information. The fact is, what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said was that she thought the only thing inappropriate was that somebody leaked that this document had been updated. Mm-hmm. So this is not for a White House that has been, you know, President Trump praising his son for transparency, quote unquote. He was on television for an hour on Fox on Sean Hannity's show, did not talk about this other person who was in the room. That's not very transparent. You have a White House that's more critical of leaks of information that's found out to be true rather than actually releasing the information and being forthcoming with the American public. So, are they more concerned about, transparency or leaks? It seems leaks.
It's really hard to understand, but it's a lesson for those who have children. Tell me everything, you know, because it is going to come out. Look, you have the health care bill that's being considered. You have the Government Accounting Office giving a new accounting of a scoring of it on Monday. You have two senators both saying they won't support it. All it will take is one more, and they won't even be able to have the vote on whether to vote on it. Does this story of Trump Jr., the letter, the way the White House is looking at this point, does that impact Republican senators and how they might act on something like the health care bill? Are they tied?
It's a good question because there's two ways to look at it. I mean, one, that there's so much drama coming from the White House and such an difficult storyline that's coming out of the White House that it could make Republican senators feel like they want some distance from this White House and don't really want to have to push forward on Donald Trump's agenda. At the same time, there's another school of thought that this could be helpful to Republicans in the Senate where they can go about the work of the health care bill without there being too bright of a spotlight on some of the more odious measures within the bill as it relates to public opinion, like, for example, cutting Medicaid drastically versus the projection that would be on the current path. So, there's those two ways of looking at it. as Mitch McConnell has said, who is the person who's shepherding this agenda, he could certainly use a little less drama from the White House.
Yeah, it's been said that the new bill he's proposed to shift further to the right. One analysis is that at least he can say to the conservatives he was trying to appeal to, I tried, even though it might fail. Really briefly, we talked yesterday about Macron and Trump and the backslapping and handshaking and the fact that he's now being called the Trump whisperer in Europe because he might be the person able to talk to President Trump about climate change, about taking Russia to task. Your thoughts?
I mean, you don't want to make too much out of one attempted meeting. You know, he attempted with lots of pomp and circumstance to try a more personal approach rather than shunning him and isolating him. He's taking the view that the United States needs to be in the fold of strong Western countries because they're going to have interests that overlap with each other, including security interests. So he's trying to take this approach to see if playing to Donald Trump's sensibilities will work. And that the book is still out on whether or not France is going to get what it wants out of this.
NPR lead politics editor Domenico Montanaro on the end of another dizzying week. See you next week, Domenico.
Always fun.